Well, good morning again, everybody. It's great to be here with you. If we get into the lesson, I have to apologize to all the kids out there. Math, right? So you thought you were done with school for the summer. No, we're going to be talking a little bit about math today. So it'll be all right. You guys are familiar with quadratic equations, right? Either am I. It's been a long time, so don't worry. We're not getting in. We won't be getting into that this morning. But this is really, I had kind of heard this a little bit several months ago, back in the fall, and had been on my mind a little bit since then. And I thought, you know what, this would be a good thing to pull together and share with the group here. Just thinking about what do we have, and how can God help us through His math multiply those things? Where oftentimes we're worried about a lot of things, and I think oftentimes we're using what I'm going to call a wrong math equation. And by the way, I gave you a note card. You don't have to be writing all this on your note card. I'm going to give you instructions at the very end of how to use the note card, so don't feel obligated that you should be writing down math equations right now with your note card thinking you'll need a cheat sheet. But oftentimes, I think we start with the equation of what is it that we need. We start on the other side of the equal sign and then try to figure out how could we ever measure up? I don't ever have enough. And it's in those times where we start to sell ourselves short, where we're focusing on our own selves, on our own shortcomings, and not on the things that God is able to supply and able to help us with. So we wonder if we're going to have, maybe there's times where we're not sure if we're going to have enough to get through a period of time, a day. I know it seems as though a lot of times when it rains, it pours for things that are going on. You just think you're maybe getting a little bit ahead or something's going a little bit right, and then there's a little bit of a reminder that maybe not, because you have multiple things that go wrong with cars or whatever else the things might be in your life. And really, you can just get overwhelmed thinking about all the different struggles that are going on and how I'm not able to measure up. Perhaps we're comparing ourselves to others instead of just thinking about ourselves individually. And we think about what we can do, and then we'll maybe start making excuses as to why we can't do something, because we feel like we don't have enough. We feel like we don't have the time. I don't have the time to commit to something, to do something. And it's only coincidental that we made the note today that anybody who's interested in having somebody in their home to let Josh or I know about that. And I had this planned a while ago. It just happened to be coincidental that happened today. Maybe God's providence that allowed me to be up here talking a little bit about that. Or we think that we lack the knowledge, that we don't measure up, that we've talked before about asking those who might be willing to teach one of the kids' classes. I don't think I have enough knowledge to be able to teach. I'm the one who still needs to be taught. I shouldn't be doing the teaching. Well, you know enough. You know something. And what are some ways that God can maybe multiply those little things that you have? What are some ways that we can serve? I know lots of times we've had kids that have brought forward prayer requests, things that they're concerned about. They're willing to serve and take what little, maybe the little bit of knowledge that they have, or maybe not quite as much as some of the adults, and use that to serve others. So for us, I want us to think today about what do we have in our lives, as little as we think it might be, just the little bit that God's going to be able to multiply, and He can use us and use the things that we have for His glory. So we're going to look at a couple of Old Testament passages, and then one of the New Testament that'll hopefully get us thinking about that and how God was able to do that. And we'll have some application, and then we'll get to those note cards at the very end. So if you've been reading your daily Bible readings over the course of this month, the two stories from the Old Testament that we're going to talk about come from those, at least out of some of those Bible readings. The first one we're going to talk about is Elijah and the widow, and that's in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. This is during the reign of Ahab, and there's going to be this drought, so Elijah is going to predict that a drought's going to happen, and we'll see what happens here with the widow. So if you'll read with me, starting in verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would eat and drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please, get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So we'll just recap this story a little bit. Elijah, in the very beginning here, God tells him there's going to be a drought that's going to persist on the land. It's going to be for three years. There's going to be no dew or no rain. You think it's a little hot today, and temperature isn't quite there. Just think of having that for 3 years, no rain that's happening. And the water even dries up for Elijah so much that he has to go from the ravens feeding him to go be with this widow. So he goes and he meets with the widow at Zarephath, but she only has enough water and flour for essentially what she says is going to be a last meal for her and her son. She's out collecting sticks, thinking that she's going to build a fire and make again what's going to be this last meal for her and her son. So she's focused on and knows that what she needs to survive more than that day is way more than what she has. And here she has a prophet of God, which she seems to realize here because she talks about the Lord, his God, and tells her to make a cake for him. And she says, "Well, I don't even have enough for myself." And then he asks her to also bring water in a jar and bread. And so essentially Elijah's asking for what little she has left to give to him. And she's concerned again that it's really going to be this last meal for her. But Elijah told her that if you do this, that you'll have more than enough. You'll be provided for, and what you have will not be exhausted. So she had just this minuscule amount that she thought would never be enough, not even for her and her son. But she obeyed, as we read there, and what she needs is more than provided for her and her family, it said, to be able to be fed, and as it was predicted, it didn't run out. So now let's look at another case of a widow. We'll go forward a little bit to 2 Kings chapter 4. We have the prophet Elisha, who, remember, succeeds Elijah in the work, and another widow in this case. Of course, in those days, it was even more drastic for widows. They were not well, oftentimes not well cared for, and so even bigger concerns for them. So in this case, we have Elisha, who's going to have a widow come to him, who's looking for some help in another dire situation that she has with her and her family. So we'll start reading in 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Now, you may not see yourself in this situation where you've built up so much debt that now the creditors are coming to take your kids, which would be just wild to think about. But I think we can see ourselves in situations where we do have some strain and issues and things that are going on. So here we have, again, another widow whose husband has died. But the creditor is going to come to take her two children as slaves. She has no income. She has no ability to pay that back. And she's asking Elisha for help. And at first she says, "I have nothing in my house except a small jar of oil," which to her, it must have been so minuscule that she thought it was completely nothing, because she said, "I have nothing in my house except this very small jar of oil," which she saw as something that seemed like it wasn't really going to serve any purpose for her or wasn't going to be terribly helpful. But Elisha is going to help her multiply what little she has to be able to get her out of this situation and be able to provide for her. So he tells her to go, and her sons go and borrow these vessels from, it must be from neighbors and those that are around. And then she's told to start pouring the little oil that she has into those vessels. So I can't imagine what it must have been like just to have a continual little amount that just keeps getting more and more and more and filling up all of the vessels that you could find. And she calls for her sons to bring in another, and then finally there's no more. They filled up all that they possibly can. So she obeyed what she was told to do. She went in, shut the doors, and they poured until all the vessels were full. And it was so much for her that she had what she thought was nothing to now this incredible surplus that through God had provided for her, that not only could she pay the debt that she had, but she's got money, will have things to live on now going forward. And finally, before we make some application, we'll go to the New Testament now, John chapter 2. Not quite the situation of being totally out of food, not the situation of having your kids taken away because you had so much debt, but a situation that was could have been seen as would have been seen as desperate for those who were part of that from the wedding party. So John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So here we have another situation where you have the where it seems to be where we only can see, we see what we need. We're going to be out of wine, which was a big deal for that wedding. And we couldn't see past what that need was to what is it that we have that God is going to be able to multiply for us. In this case, his mother Mary tells the servants, "Listen to Jesus. Just whatever he tells you to do, do it." They had these 6 stone water pots that wouldn't have been used for wine because they're being used for the tradition of purification. At least I would assume they wouldn't be used for wine. But it's something that they had on hand that they hadn't thought about that could be used with God to be able to multiply and meet the need that they had. So again, Jesus, the prophet, in this case Jesus, tells them to go find these water pots, to begin filling them up with water. And then when they drew it out, they took it to the head waiter and they had the best wine there for the last. Normally they say they serve it to the first. So, Kip, what are we getting at here? You told me there was going to be math. I'm not sure. You've got 6 water pots, 1 jar of oil. Where are we going with this? Okay. All right, let's try to bring it together, then we'll make some application. So in all of these situations, we had people that were in desperate, difficult times with what they saw as limited resources. They had just a small amount, really nothing of significance that they thought could be used. So they had this perception of limitation. So I want us to think a little bit about ourselves and what perceptions we might have of what limits us. What are the things that we think that might be holding us back that I don't have enough of fill in the blank. I don't have enough Bible knowledge to have a Bible study with somebody. Well, what amount do you have that you can ask God to help you with to multiply that, to be able to go out and share with others? The other part that's critical is they all obeyed. They heard what they needed to do and acted in faith and didn't look back. So if God is telling us to do something and we might only think we have a little bit, let's take that little bit and use it for God's glory. If we're to go out and to preach to others and to baptize, what little bit do we have? What little knowledge do we have? What little interactions do we have on a daily basis that's going to be able to do that? And then they committed whatever that little bit that they had in totality to serving God and trusting him with faith. And then for all of these at the end, they all had more than enough than what was necessary when they were able to use God's math. Their own math, they were coming up way short of what they thought could be possible or what they really needed. But when they relied on God through the prophet and through what was told to them, they seemingly and suddenly had more than enough than what was necessary. So, for us, what is our focus? What are we thinking about? Are we focused on what we think that we might need? Where we're falling short, what those gaps are? I know for myself, I often spend more time dwelling on the gap that's there and what's needed versus what do I have that can be used for that multiplication. So I want you to think about what God has given or entrusted to you. I mean, really, really reflect on it and think about it. What has he really given to you that you either haven't thought enough about or not used to its fullest because you thought it was insufficient, that it wasn't going to be enough? What are some things? Just think about those things in your own life and where you might have been holding back because maybe you thought you'd be too embarrassed because you didn't know enough, that you didn't have enough time to commit to something, or you haven't mentioned your faith to somebody else because you felt like, well, I don't know. They're going to ask questions, and I don't know how to answer the questions, and so I don't quite feel comfortable talking to those other people about my faith, or whatever the case may be. I know that's the situation I've been in my past before, where you think, well, I try to outsmart myself of what I'm going to have to need to know, and oftentimes those are the things that you don't need to know everything if you know a little bit. So let's look at a couple of passages that encourage us from that perspective. In 1 Peter 4:8-11, it says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever." And then Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." As I was reading that, I had something else just pop into my mind now that I didn't necessarily have in my notes. As I look at that, sometimes one way that we can help each other as members of a local body is if I only see my shortcomings, I hope others in the group have a tendency to see where I can shine. So I think we know each other decently enough that you can help somebody maybe accentuate or help them understand maybe they don't. Sometimes it's hard to see those things in ourselves. I know we have a lot of members here who have just very tender hearts and are loving and caring about other people. Encourage them to use that even more to continue to build and to be more loving and be more more caring of others, and then see how we can apply those things in our lives. Okay, as we wrap up, Now it's time for the challenge and commitment. And if you use, and if you type in certain words and use the Microsoft PowerPoint designer thing, it pulls in these odd images, which I think is supposed to be a phone. All right. So now is the time that you take out the note card, or I'll allow you to open the notes application on your phone. That's okay too, for you people that are, you know, here in the 21st century that we're in. Okay, I've asked you to think about it before, but think about something you have, no matter how small, and it could be something, a spiritual thing that you have, anything. Maybe you have wonderful handwriting. I do not, but maybe that's a sign that you could be writing cards to people because your handwriting is so nice and you can bless somebody with a card. And then think about how that can help grow the kingdom and write that down. And kids, you should have a card too. I thought if you're old enough to write, you could make a commitment. Even, and I know this for kids, it's the summer. You got nothing but time on your hands. I was a kid once. I was screaming of boredom all summer long. So here, you can find something to do with your time. So some things to maybe think about. All right, what? I don't have anything to offer. You have a smile, right? You have something you can cheer people. You can use that to cheer people up. God can multiply that in how you have interactions with people on a daily basis. I can tolerate people. All right, maybe not that's exactly it, but I enjoy being. So just be with people. Spend time with people. That can be in an encouragement. If you've got a piece of paper and some stamps, you can write letters. That's something small that God could use to multiply and move forward. So maybe you think, I've got gaps. Okay, if you're me, you're not a good cook. All right, I'm not. But you know what? Even if you're not a good cook, look, we're here. Like, you've made it this far, even if you're not a great cook. And you could still use whatever little thing you have. I can order a pizza or gondolas or something, and like that can be enough to have people, you know, to maybe host people in your home or get to know somebody a little bit better. So the little things, what are the little things that we have that are going to be able to help us multiply? So kids, you can think about over the summer, maybe you'll see somebody at the pool or the park or wherever you're at, and hey, I'm friendly. I'm enough to say hello to somebody, and maybe just tell them about coming to Bible class and what you're learning about. Maybe that could be an encouragement to somebody. Or maybe you'll make a commitment that when the school year comes, you'll make a new. You're pretty good at talking to people, so you'll make a new friend when the school year comes, and be nice to somebody that needs to be shown some kindness. All right. So once you have that, then write down how you're going to ask God. You're going to commit now to God helping you do that through prayer or through whatever it is that's going to be your outlet. Maybe you'll look for some passages that will help encourage you to be able to do those things. Okay, so think about what an act of faith looks like to be able to live that out in your everyday life. And now, after you've done that, if you're using your phone, put a little reminder on your phone for a month from now. Hey, I filled this thing out. I made a commitment. How are you doing with that commitment a month from now or a couple weeks from now, whatever the thing might be? Or you can find your accountability buddy, which it underlined that it's not a word, but if you type it into a search engine, it will give you a result for your accountability buddy. Somebody who's going to hold you accountable, who's your friend, to see how you're doing with those things. To remind you of how you're doing with this commitment that you've made. Everybody feeling nice and awkward now about... I didn't know, this is summertime, I didn't know I was going to have homework. I've been out of school for longer than Kip's been alive, so why are you giving me homework? You know, you sometimes it's just a little bit that you got to work with, and we'll try to do the best we can, from there. Okay, last point. Finally, just remember to continue to thank God for how He is working in your life and using His math to multiply what you have. So let's not think about the gap that we have or where we're coming short. Let's think about what we do have that we can entrust to God, because God is the one who can multiply. God is the one who can take whatever it is we are, whatever it is we have, and shape that and mold it and make it into something that's useful and meaningful for His kingdom, so that we can bring Him glory in the things that we do. Okay, that's the final point of the lesson today. So I just want to encourage everybody to continue to use God's math, to be thankful for what we have, and to be an encouragement to others.